All right, I am calling this Boston Landmarks Commission Design Review Committee hearing to order at 4 p.m. on July 28, 2020. Present are Commissioner Walker and myself, Beriducci. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link in our agenda posted online at http://www.boston.gov/public-notices/13659591 or by calling 301-718-8592 and entering the ID 886-6482-3684#. You can also submit written comments or questions to the BLC@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag BLC July 28 hearing. Today the commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law. We are conducting this meeting online to ensure public access to the deliberations of the Boston Landmarks Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or press the prompt, raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at blc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag BLC July 28 hearing. We will repeat these instructions at the time of public comment. All right, so first item on the agenda is application 21.0041.122, the First Church, Roxbury, the John Elliott Square, and the proposed work is amend application 19.688.122 to include drainage work, including installation of bioretention area. So if the applicants are on the call here online, you can.
Yes. Okay, my name's Steve Sawyer. I'm with Design Consultants, Inc. Here on behalf of the First Church. I'm the civil engineer of record for the project. I believe both Mary Margaret Earle, Andrea Gilmore are both on if any questions arise for, they're with the First Church, and also Chris McCarthy, he's the project manager. So with this project, there's some modifications that came about due to the Boston Water Sewer Commission review. And we had to add some retention area and some pipes directing the water to the retention area. So the seven, I guess there were seven questions brought up by the commission that are shown here on this slide pertaining to those changes to the plan. So they're basically the impacts it had, these piping and the retention area have on the archaeological sensitive areas. What we can do is just jump right in. I'll keep it brief. We'll go right to each response. So question one is on the next slide, the response to that. So the native archaeological site will be marked off and protected. Yes, what we'll do is we'll make sure that the sensitive areas will be delineated with either straw wattles or construction fencing. Any required excavation in those areas will be replaced in the immediate area. Most of the work within the sensitive area is actually a fill. So it'll actually be filling on top of that area and not removing of material. So with that, we'd be protecting the sensitive areas. Also, any excavations within the sensitive area, the lower area where the retention area, I believe we're to keep excavations less than 6 inches, which we are doing. There's only one small area now where we're less than 6 inches. And then in the upper area where the patio is up to 12 inches, which we'd be maintaining that. So we'd be, prior to construction, those areas will be delineated either by a surveyor or by the contractor, so we know perfectly delineated if there's any impacts within that area. So if we could jump to the next question. Should we just run through all seven and then just any questions at the end of the meeting or at the end of the presentation? Okay. The trenches, so we have a 6-inch and an 8-inch pipe. In general, where the trench leaves the building itself or the catch basin, it's about a 24 to 36 inch deep by 12 to 18 inch wide excavation to install the pipes. However, we have redesigned the project. So the 6-inch will terminate outside of the Meeting Hill 3 area, sensitive area. So we're completely out of that area now. We pulled it back, pulled that pipe back to keep it out of the area. The 8-inch only encroaches 12 feet into that area. I've adjusted the invert of that pipe, so it'll require less, 6 inches or less of excavation to make all work within the sensitive area will be 6 inches or less. That includes the splash pad at the outlet. So the next slide. Oh, there we go. So the ground impacts in the bioretention area. So basically that big lawn area, it's kind of there is a slight depression there where water would tend to pond during large rain events. The only thing we're doing is we're going to construct a very subtle berm, a grass berm that'll blend into the grass, that'll blend into the surrounding areas to detain water. Boston Water Sewer requires us to detain the first 1 inch of rainfall over all existing and new impervious areas. Hence why we have to create this little area that's going to impound the stormwater. And then it'll percolate rapidly into the grass. That soil is very good, very permeable. So we're building everything on top of it. There's no excavation needed for the bioretention area. And the maximum depth during a very heavy rain event would be 6 inches before it overtops that subtle berm and just runs off site as it does today. And I would say, I would say do with the permeability of the lawn area, I would say within probably hours of a storm event, it'll drain dry. So the next slide. So the other question was the termination of the pipes, the splash pads. These splash pads are the termination of the pipes. So the 6-inch has been brought completely out of that area. We've removed that out of the sensitive area. The 8-inch, it's about a 6 by 6 foot splash pad. The reason for that is, and that splash pad is constructed on the existing grade. So we'll only excavate 6 inches down and we'll put in some filter fabric. And then we put, what I propose here is instead of like angular riprap that you typically see, is something a little more decorative, like a flat slate or, you know, some sort of flat stone, like a Goshen stone or something. And the purpose of that is to dissipate the stormwater energy. If you had a point discharge right from the edge of the pipe onto the lawn, there'd be tend to be some scour erosion. And what this will do is it'll dissipate it. So by the time it runs to the far side of the splash pad, it's spread out in a thin layer and it doesn't have any erosive characteristics or erosive properties where it'll tend to scour out and erode rills in the existing lawn area. We're looking to do this in a decorative area. And once again, the 8-inch pipe, this excavation will be kept to 6 inches or less into the existing soil. And then as you run up slope, as you run back up beyond the flared end over the pipe, we'd be mounding a little bit of earth and planting seed on top of the pipe until it actually dives into the existing grade. So that's how we're terminating these pipes. The next slide. So the stone swale, so there was a swale that was part of the review process with Boston Water Sewer. We'll take a quick look at the plan. That actual swale is outside, it's just south of that the Meeting House 3 area. And what I did do is I did actually move it, even reroute it a little further away to give us some measure of added security that we're staying out of that area. The swale itself is only 6 inches deep, 48 inches wide. It's very subtle. It's to pick up stormwater that would be running down off the side of the driveway and direct it to that that retention area. Right now we're looking at just 1.5 to 3 inch rounded river run stone, which would be decorative. Doesn't have to be stone. As we look at it, we may actually just do a grass swale, so it'll just blend in. It'll be mowed and just blended in with the surrounding area. But once again, this swale is outside of that area, and we actually moved it a little further to keep it further out. And once again, it only requires 6 inches of excavation to install it. So it's just in the surface area. Next slide, please. The ADA compliant ramp in the garden. So on the other side of the site. So David Jay looked at this area, and it turns out that this area you're allowed in this area. It's a very small protected area. I think it's number five. Meeting House Hill Area 5, it's a round area, and it's allowed 12 inches of excavation in the protected area. It would require less than that. And it turns out it's not in the ADA ramp. We can just look at it quickly we provided plans as we move along. It's actually in a small patio area, which would only require probably 6 or 8 inches of excavation to install, probably about 8 inches of excavation to install the patio. So once again, any disturbance within this small area would be less than the 12 inches recommended by the Archaeological Survey back in June of 2019. So we can go to the next slide. Okay. So probably best, let's click on the Boston Water Sewer site plan, updated plan. The first link. All right. I don't know if there's a way to zoom in just sort of the left half of the western half of the site. If you can zoom, it's fine. If not, okay. And sort of pan it a little bit to the right. My right. Can you pan it? Perfect. Perfect. All right. On the top of the plan, you'll see the green. So originally you see the 8-inch SDR 35 pipe. I don't know. I probably can't point. You can't see my mouse, but it's on the, you'll see the green line. It says SDR 35 that now only protrudes sort of, you'll see it protrude into the area at an angle. And that's where the splash pad and the pipe, encroaches in that area. And once again, as I said, there'd be less than 6 inches of excavation required. Originally we had the pipe all the way, it ran probably another 15 feet or 20 feet down slope into that area. And the pipe was somewhat deeper, requiring probably excavation more than 6 inches there. I revised the design so we could mitigate that and keep within the recommendations of the survey. And then you can see below that, there's from the southwest corner of the church or meeting house, you'll see there's a 6-inch SDR 35, and I've pulled that completely out of the area. So now we're completely out of the area, along with the splash pad would be out of the area. So we're not impacting the that sensitive zone. And on this plan, you can see that you'll see a little bit in the pale red where the pipes were located on the original design that you reviewed, and you can see the difference in the current design versus the original design that you reviewed. So I think we took measures to address your concerns and mitigate any impact within that area. And then you can see that there's a green hatched area sort of, or there's a diagonal hatched area. That's the retention area. And the way that's just the existing grade, there's no change, the trees will remain. And it's just, they'll just be during large storm events, temporarily will be water held and infiltrated as required by Boston Water Sewer Commission review. And you can see to the north of that little area is where we construct that. We just fill It'll just be loam and seed. It'll be a loam and seed berm that will blend into the area. No excavation required. Now at the south end, you can see right just to the left of the drive entry is where the stone, where the stone swale is, where it can, it'll either be a decorative stone or we'll construct it as a loam and seed. And you can see that's just south of the sensitive area. And I've bent that, I kind of pulled it a little further away to give us a measure of safety to stay out of that area. And that is just direct. As you can see, the water would run down, the storm water that runs down the driveway. And it's just to make sure all water that runs down the driveway is intercepted and directed to the retention area. So that's I think that's it for that one. Then we can jump to the, if we can go back and jump to the upper patio area. How that works. Actually, there we go. So this is plan David J. produced, the landscape architect. So you can see the round, circle. It's a Meeting House Hill 5 area, that round circle. So it is actually not located within the ADA ramp. It's just within the patio area. You know, there's a small patio, circular patio area, sitting area. That's on the corner of it, but any work within that sensitive area would require less than 12 inches excavation to installing. And see, it's just in the corner of the kind of the upper right corner of that sensitive area. So I think we just wanted to mitigate the impacts as best we could. I think we did a pretty good job doing that in those archaeological sensitive areas. And updated the plans and hope that you all agree that that we've mitigated the your concerns and open for questions.
Hi, Joe, do you have something you wanted to say about this? And then I have a comment.
I want to, I got booted out here, so I just got back on now. So I missed a portion of it, but I do have some questions. Since you went through all the narrative first without the benefit of the site plan, I was going to see if you can get to the site plan and point out some of these areas. So you've got where is the you've got two size pipes right now, right? As far as I understand.
Yep, two pipes.
Okay, so where is the 8-inch? Pipe.
Okay, so if you look, if you look at the circular, look at the right in front or just directly west of the meeting house. If you like the center of the meeting house, you go west, keep going west, you get that circular area there. Just keep going a little bit west.
Yeah.
You know, that green, there's a green line that comes diagonally down.
Oh, from the top? Yeah.
From the top. So you'll see there's a leader that says FES, that's the flared end section. So that pipe now, it terminates right there.
All right.
So you can see originally where it was is just up to the left. You'll see the little red area, the red, sort of the pale red.
Yeah.
That was the original location of the pipe. I realigned the pipe and lifted the invert a bit to bring it, to minimize the impact. So basically, that short section of pipe right there, that short section on the edge of the archaeological sensitive area will require less than 6 inches of excavation to install the whole pipe, the flared end section and the splash pad.
All right. And so that pipe goes, it will be going under the driveway, obviously.
Yes.
And that's going to have enough cover over the driveway so it doesn't get crushed by vehicles.
Yes, we have 12 inches of cover on it. We'd probably run it with we need 12 inches of cover, and that's adequate.
Okay. All right.
I just have to figure out how to mute it.
And what else? The thing I was also curious about, where the pipe has its flared end, Can you sort of point, I know it's a tiny area, but I'm just curious how much of the of that flared pipe is going to be visible in terms of the length that we see here?
So what happens is it's an 8-inch pipe. It flares out to probably about, what it does, it takes the flow and flattens it out. So,
yeah, no, I understand its purpose. What I'm wondering about is how much of the pipe is going to be visible out of the ground.
Okay, you're probably going to have about probably two and a half feet of length of pipe.
All right, and I mean because that's
then obviously... we fill on top. There'll be a little bit of fill area to cover the pipe.
Yeah, and I mean, because that's obviously going to be visible from the street, because that's pretty high up on the site from the street. Is there any way that that could be a black section of pipe rather than the standard white?
So yes, absolutely, yep. Yeah, that could be a black flared end section.
Yeah, so that way it'll be less visible. And then you don't, the flared or the stone area would be a 6-foot square right at the tip of that pipe?
Yeah. And what I was mentioning before is instead of using like an angular, you know, some sort of angular riprap, is you could use like a flat slate or, you know, a flat bluestone, or what you want to do is kind of smear out the water, flatten it out. So, you know, we'd do like a, some sort of slate. And you could actually, you probably could get some grass to grow between it, between the joints.
I mean, that's what I was wondering, if there was even, something like that grasscrete stuff that is put in. But I think for sure, something that is a kind of stone that's going to stabilize the soil, but yet maybe allow for the grass to kind of grow through the cracks of it would be ideal there. All right, so then... And then the swale, I'm looking at, okay, so that's the berm. And the berm is going to be able to be covered in the turf as well?
Grass? Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a turf. It'll be a grass berm. It's only 6 inches high. So you think over 4 feet, you're just coming up 6 inches and going down 6 inches. So it'll be a very subtle berm that'll be allowed to be mowed and blend into the rest of the lawn area.
All right. And so let me move on to this other part here that, because I think that was the most sensitive area, Joe Bagley, the Meeting House Hill 3.
I mean, they're all fairly equal, but it's one of the largest areas, yeah.
Okay. All right, and so then looking at this this sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, contemplative garden here, what is the circle indicating there? That's a separate area that has been excavated?
The orange?
Number five.
I guess that was just an area. I guess I'm not as far, maybe Joe can help us out, but yeah,
it's a very small area of archaeological sensitivity. We had one positive test pit that we tested around, and it just seems like an area that was probably part of a larger site, but it's been disturbed around its edges. So it's kind of all left of a probably the site that was just to its left.
All right. And so really what we're just... Our concern here is this new the new changes you're basically making to this area number three, that would be the flared pipe with the riprap or whatever you want to call it, and then the berm. That's going to be a little bit of some grading changes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. It'll just be fill. We won't have to excavate whatsoever. It'll just be a small fill berm. You know. The fill area there.
All right, and then this Cultec infiltration, is that's going to be obviously below grade.
That is below grade. Yeah.
That's outside of the areas.
It's outside of the that would require some excavation. Probably, I think that one is I think we tried to do a shallow unit, but I think it's still going to require about 4 feet of 4 feet of excavation to install.
All right.
Feet.
All right. So I guess. If Commissioner Walker has something to say, you know, I'd like to hear that, but I also want to hear what Joe Bagley might, you know, have him weigh in here as well. So, Brad.
Joe, why don't you go ahead, please?
Sure. So actually, I have a couple of questions still. I'm hoping you can address them real quick. The CB1, I believe it's a cistern infiltration opening at the northwest corner of the northern parking area. That's over top of Meeting House Hill. I think it's two, if I can remember right, two or one. How much impact is that going to have on the intact ground surface underneath? I know that that's a significant area of filling. Is the depth of that infiltration basin going to be significant?
Yeah, that's actually just that's in the northwest corner of that parking lot. That's actually a catch basin. It's not an infiltration basin. So it'll be a shallow catch basin. So it'd be about 4 feet deep, which I think we're probably filling. It's a pretty big fill area. Hold on a sec. I might be able
to... Sounds deep enough that it could impact below, but I'd love to have confirmation on that.
Yeah. 70, we're at elevation 79, and the existing contour there appears to be, what are we looking at, 77. It's contour 77 runs sort of right up, so actually between 76 and 77. And the existing grade is actually the rim is at 78. So we got about 3.5 feet of fill, 3.5 feet of fill in that area. And the basin itself probably requires about 4 feet of depth to install. So there'd be, you might be scraping down at that corner, maybe 12 inches of soil there. That corner.
I have a recommendation for the depth for each site. I didn't look into what that one in particular is, but it should be in the management summary that's provided last year. Can you just address generally, I think I didn't have concerns when I reviewed this earlier, but can you just, for everybody that's watching, can you talk about the parking area kind of to the west of the new and the existing driveway areas? And since those are on top of the native site, what depth impacts are going to be from the kind of soft parking area?
Okay, when you're saying that, I'm sorry, so there's the main parking area, I guess the paved area, which is north of the meeting house. Mm-hmm. So that area will be paved, but it's in a fill area.
I'm talking about the areas to the west of the two driveways going in.
Oh, okay, yeah, the overflow, basically, yeah. It's a structural soil. So it's just a reinforced soil. We're filling in those locations. It's a reinforced turf. So it'll be lawn, it'll look like lawn, but if you have an event where we require additional parking, cars can park on it without rutting or messing it up. So it's a structural soil that is planted with lawn and it's within a fill zone.
Thank you. So just a general comment, based on what I saw earlier, once again, you all on the First Church team have done an excellent job really adjusting the plans to be accommodating to the native archaeological history on this site. And I think that's a really great thing. So thank you for doing that. This is another Boston Water and Sewer Commission proposal. What is the likelihood of the proposal that we're currently looking at being accepted without additional changes from the Boston Water and Sewer Commission?
This has actually been accepted and signed by John Sullivan. Okay. As far as the changes I made, adjusting the pipes, it wouldn't require resubmission. It's just it would be covered in the as-built. Their main drive is okay. We need to collect and infiltrate 1 inch of stormwater. They required us to pick up the existing meeting house. This doesn't require resubmission. We have approved plans, signed approved plans, and we'd be ready to go to get our building permit from that. So we're good to go with Boston Water Sewer.
And then my last comment is that since this is part of the landscape, like Landmarks Commission, this should be reviewed by the MHC. To that extent, though, I think if we can figure out how much the depth impact is on the basin on the northwest side of the main parking area, and if that is within the zone of protection above the kind of the foot, I think it's a foot, but I'm not positive, of how much the depth on Meeting House site at the northern end of the property can be dug into without concern. So the intact site is pretty deep, I think, in that area. This should be reviewed by the MHC. If you haven't submitted something to them yet for review, this could be something once the Landmarks Commissioners approve or whatever they're going to do, would potentially be good to have a letter from the Landmarks Commission submitted alongside it, addressing the changes that have been made to the plans to accommodate the archaeological sites, but also to submit both versions of this plan, the original plan and this current one, to show the MHC what you've done in order to try to accommodate the archaeological sites. And then our letter, I can draft a letter to go along with that that addresses how you address the archaeological concerns based on the concerns that we have. That was more of an offer than a comment.
Yeah, they may. Is Chris available to provide input? Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, I'm here, and I haven't looked into the MHC submit requirements here. Our goal is to proceed as swiftly as possible while meeting all the requirements, Joe. Mm-hmm. So any letter that you might attach would certainly assist us. I don't know if the inspectional services permitting needs to also await MHC review. I did speak to the plan examiner at ISD the other day, and he said once we have what he calls Hansen system approvals from BLC and Parks, that he is prepared to issue those permits. So this MHC piece here is a new wrinkle for me, and I don't know if that could happen in parallel and our team could be allowed to proceed with permitting with ISD, but we can definitely satisfy the requirement here. I was hoping we'd be allowed to proceed in parallel with any review done by that group.
I don't think we can approve parallel procedures as far as MHC goes, since they're separate, but because the property has a both above and below ground preservation restriction on it, any changes which would include this plan would have to get reviewed by them.
When we did the initial submittal, Joe, we did have the approval from MHC for the first plan that we had, and I know you were instrumental in submitting the letters to them at that time as well. So the initial phase of all of the MHC review has taken place. We would not be going to MHC for the first time. This would just be an update.
And I think a letter from the BLC stating the adjustments and accommodations that you all have made for the archaeological sites would help it.
And that was what the MHC did initially. They deferred and awaited the letter from the Boston Landmarks Commission and then sent a letter of concurrence with your determinations. So I anticipate that might be how they would follow through again this time.
But thank you for all your hard work on this. The original plans had significantly more impacts, and I think that this has mitigated to the point of there being no, as far as I can see, no adverse effects on the archaeological sites. I think we just need to cross our T's and dot our I's for the basin at the northwest corner. But other than that, I think this has been a very conscientious effort to avoid the archaeological sites on the site.
Thanks, yeah, John.
I have another question I wanted to ask about this, the 8-inch pipe that's going into the bioswale here. Is there going to have to be any special consideration when the ground is, snow covered, or if we get a big heavy dump of snow? Is that going to impair the ability of that pipe to flow, for water to flow freely out of it? And my only concern is because that's the only outlet from that catch basin that's catching all of that water in the parking area, the hardscape there.
There'll be no issue where it's down, it's a down gradient. It would tend, if it was snow covered, it would just, when you have a thaw and a rain event, it would just tend to wash underneath the snow. So the snow create a rivulet underneath the snow. We've, this is a typical manner of typical way we handle stormwater. as far as daylighting out to as well.
All right. Brad, do you have any other thoughts before we open it up?
I do. I have two questions. The first, really, I think maybe for Joe Bagley, just so I understand if we're going to write provisos. So catch basin number one, the one that's in the northwest corner of the parking lot, you know, just as I'm looking at contours and guessing how far the bottom of the excavation is below the inlet, is, you know, like probably 2 feet to 30 inches of excavation, of digging in your resource area. So what is it that we want to say about that? That they should not do that, or that they need to have further surveying done about that?
There's a number, and I don't have it in front of me, I apologize, of how deep that area can be disturbed without impacting the archaeological site.
Okay.
So we need to compare that depth to the proposed depth of the catch basin's top to the bottom of the excavations with the added fill, and do the math to figure out how much of a net loss we're going to have to that part of the site.
Yeah.
For the catch basin. And if that's within that protection area, then we're fine. And most likely it is. But I do remember that area having particularly deep deposits. But I just wanted to check that. That was something I missed in the original review of this project. And I could have had the numbers for that. I apologize.
And if we fail, what happens if it's excavating more than you want it to?
Is there any adjustments that can be made to where that basin is located?
I'm looking at that and just wondering if it's a possibility to move that basin just to the south of that area, get it out of the area, and then just for grading, just pick up the corner where that basin is currently, so that you sort of get a valley of where the water flows over the pavement, and then it'll fall into the catch basin.
So move it like two parking spaces over, you're sort of saying.
Well, I'm talking about down, so the south.
To get down.
Oh, yeah. I see, okay.
This is David Jay, the landscape architect on the job. And I'm looking at Joe's plan indicating where the Meeting House Hill protected areas are. And it's a little hard to read, but it looks to me as though that catch basin is actually just outside the protected area. I think the orange line that's shown here is not quite accurate.
Yeah. Well, in any event, there's no reason I can't slide that basin slightly south away from that.
Yep.
That makes sense.
My second question, I think, is probably just for Mr. Sawyer and maybe just for my own education. But back to your 8-inch drainage pipe that goes into the Meeting House Hill 3 area. I don't understand how an 8-inch pipe can be buried with less than 6 inches of excavation.
Well, we're filling on top of it. So it's going to happen in the proposed contour that we kind of berm up on top of it as you daylight out.
Thank you.
Okay. And then you'll obviously transition that berm so it doesn't look like just a bump in the landscape. It'll be better out.
Yeah, you can kind of see, if you look at you can kind of see the dark lines of the proposed contours. We kind of just take.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
We roll it out and we kind of flatten it out there. Kind of.
All right. And then just getting back to the stone that you use. I mean, the bottom line is we want the stone to be as invisible as possible. I mean, I don't know what you're doing. Blue stone or anything like that is going to make a better impact or less impact. I would say that, you know, a gray, some kind of grayish stone that allows for the grass to grow through, as long as you can mow over it, I guess is the key. So I'll let that up to you. I'll leave that up to you. All right. So if there's no more comments, I'll open it up to the public here. Joe, I'll just read this piece in. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please press the prompt, raise your hand, or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to, quote, raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at blc@boston.gov. or via Twitter with the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks with the hashtag BLC July 28 hearing. So we'll just kind of keep it open for a couple minutes here, see if there's any.
I have my hand up.
Nothing yet on the no emails?
I have my hand up. Hey, I've been trying to talk now for a few minutes. So I guess I'll talk as a member of the public. Roseanne Foley, Director of Historic Preservation, City of Boston. I was surprised to hear that MHC's involvement at all is kind of a surprise. So I was surprised about that surprise. Anything that happens to this pending landmark, and our study report is underway, so it may become a full-fledged landmark shortly. And anything comes to us. We were told about this project by someone at the Parks Department who wondered if we had seen it, and we had not. So I'm not sure how to emphasize that Mass Historical Commission and Landmarks Commission need both to be thought of as preservation partners in this property. The earlier that we can be apprised of stuff, the easier it is for us to make the timeline work for you all. So then we don't have these kind of last minute angst ridden emails and whatnot. So I just wanted to make that point, because we want to help, and it's easier to help if we know early. The other thing I want to mention is Joe Bagley, if you don't have the staff comments in front of you, those will have your comments in them. I don't know if Joe Cornish can see those, but as he writes that letter and runs it by you, we can double check any of the heights and whatnot that you mentioned. Sounds to me like everything is good as far as, you know, 6 to 12 inches. That sounds great. And I'm pleased that everything was able to be modified to work out. So that's all I want to say.
All right. Any other comments? Joe, no emails or anything? Or
no, I don't see anyone raising their hand. And Gabby, are there any emails coming in? Or
No, there's nothing that's coming for us.
Yeah,
I think David, one more quick question for me, if I may. I don't know whether it's for Mr. Sawyer or for the landscape architect, but the reinforced turf for the parking, is that those sort of buried plastic things or the buried concrete things? Or David J, you're on mute.
Yeah. It's a stabilized soil, the stones mixed in with the soil. We really didn't want the plastic.
I see. So not those little structured modules that I've seen in other places. No. Just stone mixed in with the soil and the grass grows.
Exactly.
Thank you.
All right. And also, too, there was, I don't know if it was mentioned earlier or not, but it's recommended that that the architectural sites be marked off with a silt fence or similar marking to avoid, so that the those areas would be avoided throughout the landscape work. Is that something that can be?
Yeah, yes, we can do that.
All right, so that we'll put that in as another proviso. All right, so if there's no other comments, we can make a motion, or no, we won't take a motion. We'll recommend, to the full commission to accept with the provisos that the flared section of the pipe that comes into area 3 be black in color, so to minimize its visibility, and the riprap or whatever that hard stone material be of a darkish color, and then be allowed to have turf grow over it to minimize its appearance. And then regarding the, we didn't really decide one way or another, but if in fact area number 2 is impacting that catch basin, then the catch basin probably should be moved maybe 15 feet or so south of that corner to get outside of that area. But I guess it would depend on where the actual marking of it is. If it's outside of the area with the catch basin in the corner, then it can stay where it is. And then also the last one would be to mark off all of these areas during the construction so that they are visible and everyone's aware of them. All right, is there anything else I left out? Okay, so I guess not. All right, so thank you very much, and we'll go on to the next.
Thank you.
All right, so the next item is application number 21.0, hold on, let me get to the right agenda here. Here we are here. Okay. Application number 21.0040.142, the Emerald Necklace Parks at the Jamaica Pond Park. And this is regarding reinstall a flagpole removed in 2019. So the applicant is here.
Hi, my name is Lauren Bryant, and I am the project manager for the Jamaica Pond project for the Parks and Recreation Department, and I'm joined by Kyle Zick, who is the landscape architect on the project. As David was saying, we removed a flagpole outside of the boathouse plaza. We came to you guys for that project when we were doing it, and removing the flagpole was part of the project at that time. We removed the flagpole for a few different reasons. The main one being that it was blocking circulation patterns and not allowing us to have ADA access to the boathouse plaza itself, into the bottom terrace of the boathouse plaza. It was removed. We talked about it in the community meetings, and no one brought up the concern about removing the flagpole at the time. However, it's come to Park's attention that the flagpole and the flag is very much missed by the veterans community. And apparently there's a group of veterans that walks the pond every morning and saluted the flag, which they can't do anymore since it's not there. And we've been asked by the veterans to please replace the flagpole. So we can't put it back where the flagpole previously was due to the circulation issues that we talked about. So we're coming to you to propose a new location for a new flagpole. And with that, I will turn it over to Kyle to talk more about the plans for that, or the hopes for that.
So my name's Kyle Zick. I'm a landscape architect. The slide on the screen shows the context. It has Jamaica Pond on the left with a yellow box showing the boathouse plaza. It's between the boathouse and bandstand are both in this location. And the red box is where we're proposing to locate the flagpole. It's in and amongst newly restored benches, but not directly in front of the view between the two buildings to the pond. So if you go to the next slide, please. The image on the left is the previous flagpole. It was kind of in and amongst a temporary wooden ramp that provided wheelchair access over the stairs. On the right-hand side is as it was built with the new construction project, which we have your approval for. But you can see a permanent ramp going down the archway and then the bandstand and the boathouse flanking this view. Next slide. Mm-hmm. Then we have some context of where this flagpole is proposed. The space between the benches here, that is a wheelchair companion space, is what we were looking at. We have more than we need in terms of wheelchair companion spaces, so we're not jeopardizing our ADA compliance. Next slide. And that's a simulation of the flagpole with the American flag and POW MIA flag on it. And the boathouse is to the right there of the path, and the Jamaica Way is on the left-hand side. Next slide. Then some of the details, it's a 25-foot tall pole. It would be anodized bronze with a bronze cast aluminum collar and a clear anodized aluminum ball on the top. Next slide. And so the detail of it is on the right. Generally, what you're gonna see on the surface is concrete pavement, just as that wheelchair companion space has been paved. We take out about a 4-foot by 5-foot panel of concrete, and we put it back after the flagpole is installed.
Okay.
That's it.
Can you get back to the very first slide that shows the plan with the bread box of where the proposed flag's going? And then with on that drawing, can you point to where the original one was located?
Are you gonna see my cursor?
No.
No, so just above the P and the O in proposed.
Okay.
Right in there. Yep, you're hovering over it right now. It was on axis with the archway and the gangway to the dock.
On the water side of the boathouse.
No, it's directly between the boathouse and bandstand. That's where it was. And just another thing to note, the Olmsted brothers designed this plaza and did not have a flagpole in the design.
Okay. Do you know what the history of that flagpole was? Like who, what organization, or when it was put in?
Lauren, do you know its origin?
I do not know.
Because I noticed it's a, not that it really makes a big difference, but it's a very different looking flag. The one that was there was a kind of nautical oriented pole. Mm-hmm. And which obviously I'm sure was to relate to the boathouse and the water. And the new one is going to be, you know, obviously just a single mast, and it's also going to be substantially shorter, it looks like. Is that also any reason for that, or?
We mocked up the height on site with a surveying pole, and we did different heights and just tested what felt right in that location. And we tried higher and lower, and felt like 25 feet was the appropriate scale.
Yeah. All right.
And part of it is we also worked with the veterans group, since they seemed to be the main group that wanted the flagpole back, seeing as with the general public, no one was concerned about it leaving. And their request was actually for a single flagpole with those two flags on it, as opposed to a nautical flagpole.
Okay, so they basically chose not to go with a nautical.
Correct, and they've seen this and would be very happy with this as a flagpole going back in.
Yeah, all right.
And they also would be, I know it's not your guys' concern typically, but they, the veterans group would also be in charge of all of the flag protocols with putting the flags up and raising and lowering them each day as well. So they would be an active participant in it as well.
Okay, because my whole point is that it's a very different, it'll have a very different presence out there than the original one did. The original one looks like it was positioned between the buildings so that it was probably visible even from across the pond. And then this one just seems to be kind of tucked in anonymously in front of the building, so it won't be necessarily that visible. So I don't have a strong feeling of it one way or another, but I just, pointing out that it's going to have a very different context now.
That was deliberate on our part to not have it on axis. We wanted the view and the space between the buildings to be open.
Yeah.
To be more what Olmsted had.
All right. Just wanted to make sure that those things were kind of adhered to or thought about. So, all right. I don't have any thoughts. Brad, do you have any thoughts on this?
I don't. You guys have covered anything that I was wondering about, so thank you.
Yeah, okay. And again, I don't know if there's any possibility of public comment, but I guess we can open it up to that. Let me get to that piece again. I guess I gotta read that in. All right, hold on 1 second. All right, again, for the public, members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please press the prompt, raise your hand, or type your question in the chat and in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to, quote, raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at blc@boston.gov or via Twitter with the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks with the hashtag BLC July 28 hearing. So we'll just wait a bit, and if anybody, or Joe, you can check
email. Yeah, David, I'm not seeing anyone raising their hand. I'm not getting any chats. And Gabby, are you getting anything?
No, nothing is coming for this.
Okay. I think we're good, David.
Yeah, okay. All right, so it looks like we could recommend approval without any provisos and just accept as presented. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next application is number 20.1085.56, the Back Bay Fens at 31 Park Drive. This is a continuation from the June 26, 2020 hearing. And this is regarding the proposed work of replacing existing concrete streetlight with metal streetlight with small cell wireless infrastructure, including radio cabinet and antenna.
Sure. Hi, man. It's Paul Costa. I think when we last spoke, the commission had some concerns about, you know, future sites, what they would look like. We had reached out to DCR, and they confirmed that going forward that...
First of all, can you give your name? I don't know if you did
already. Yeah, sure. Paul Costa from Crown Castle. Yeah, I mean, we could go through the slide. Just if you go through a couple more of them. We had proposed a site on existing... streetlight on 31 Park Drive. We'll be replacing that existing pole with a metal streetlight pole with a straight arm, and the shroud and antenna will be attached to that pole. And last time we had discussed this, the commission had some current concerns about the future designs, not of this site, but also other ones as the poles get replaced. And we had spoken with DCR, since it's under their jurisdiction, and they are comfortable with this design. If any future ones, I believe there were some discussions with Landmarks and DCR about these future sites and the design, and as well as some concern about the color as well.
The concern was that this is a very different looking light mm-hmm. fixture coming off of the arm or coming off of the pole. And so our concern was, given that the other ones are the traditional cobra head fixtures, was there going to be a plan in the future to replace the cobra heads with a fixture looking similar to this? That was kind of the thrust of the concern.
Yeah, and that is kind of DCR's position, is that going forward they will look like this as they get replaced.
Yeah.
The small cell ones will look like this.
Yeah, without the top piece. If it was just if it's a standard light, they'll just eliminate that top portion, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be the straight arm.
Yeah.
Okay. Pole, yes.
And so the others are this exposed aggregate. This one is going to be a metal. I guess the paint color will be something that will kind of match the sort of, I don't know what you would call that, sort of a taupey brownish gray color of the...
Yeah, I guess a tannish kind of color there. Yeah, we can match, kind of look at matching that existing pole. We're going to work with DCR and getting the exact coloring for that.
Yeah, I think that would be good. The rendering shows the one that they show in the rendering rather is a little bit kind of on the cold gray side. So
yeah, we can make a different rendering if that's okay. But yeah, we would go with a tanner kind of color to match that.
Yeah. All right, Brad, do you have any thoughts on this?
I'm not sure I understand whether DCR has committed to doing future lampposts with cell tower facilities to look like this, or whether they're saying they're going to upgrade all their lampposts, even ones without the cell. And then I'm not sure that it actually is material to our question at the moment. I mean, we're being asked to approve this one. But maybe you could clarify again. Did they say that they're going to replace all of them, or as they replace all of them, they're going to use straight arms, or just ones that have this capacity?
I don't know, Mike, if you can also speak to this.
Yeah, so going forward, as far as adding any kind of small cell infrastructure to a pole, DCR is going to require any other providers to follow our model. So if it's a replacement with a small cell, you'll
have all look alike.
Same design. Yeah.
But we would still have a mixture of straight-armed cell phone poles and cobra-armed light poles.
Correct. But, you know, if there's concern on either part with, you know, the Landmarks or DCR, we can design this with a curved arm also instead of a straight arm.
Right. Well, I guess that was the question.
That was the point we started with. Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, we wanted to find out if their plan for the future of regular light poles without any cell apparatus on it, if they are planning to go to a design like this that shows a vertical pole with a straight 90 degree arm coming off of it. That was why the whole point of the question.
Yeah.
Because we asked, why is this pole going to look so different from the other kinds of light fixtures?
That they don't have any long-term plans for changing poles or long-term design plans.
But did you say you guys do have a Cobra arm version that would look more similar to the context?
Correct.
Yeah,
we do.
Why haven't you shown us that?
We were just waiting for confirmation, I guess, from DCR that was okay as well as you. I mean, we're happy to resubmit that with that design.
Well, you know, the whole point is we're trying to not have this become some hybrid looking thing. You know,
no, I understand.
The bottom line of these towers or these poles with all the cell information on it is they look like an anomaly out here on the landscape. So we wanted to get it to look and blend in like a regular light pole. So that was the whole point.
Yeah, I think the more consistency, the better. So they're not calling attention to themselves. And since it sounds like DCR is not going to change their Cobra lights to straight armed lights, and you might have the capacity to change your straight to a Cobra, that we should look at that.
Okay. Yeah, we can provide that. We'll provide photo sims with that design as well as the tan color.
Okay. Sorry to ask you to come back again, but I think that was the point of the initial request. That
right.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I understand.
We're looking for consistency, and so that's the whole point. All right. Let's see. I don't know. I suppose I don't have any other comments. So I think we can try opening it up again and see if there's any public comments on this. And I'll read in my shtick here. I can find it. Yeah. All right. Members of the public will have now an opportunity to ask questions, to provide public comment on the applications and discussions. To do so, please vote, raise your hand, or type the question in the chat and in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to quote raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at blc@boston.gov or via Twitter with the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks. With the hashtag BLCJuly, JULY28 hearing, all spelled out. So I can't imagine there's not going to be 30, 40 people lined up to make comments on this, but maybe not. So we'll just wait a bit.
David, I'm not seeing anyone raising their hand or sending a message.
Yeah, no one has submitted anything for email or Twitter.
All right, so I think we can probably then just move on. So to recap, again, the whole point is to find out, to have these poles look as consistent with the light fixtures that are used out there currently. So if DCR has no plans to change the Cobra head and continue to use those, then your light pole should have a Cobra head light that resembles that. And it sounds like they're not planning to use a 90 degree arm like you show on yours. But if in fact they are, then fine, keep it. But that's what we wanted to know. And then in the future, if DCR decides they want to change the light pole completely to something much more pedestrian friendly or looking a lot less highway looking, then, you know, we'd probably come back to you and have you change yours out to match this new look. But the bottom line is we want it to look consistent. So if that could be flushed out with them, then we would appreciate hearing from you again on that. All right.
Good, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, last item is application 20.1083.223, the Christian Science Church Complex at 210 Mass Ave. And this is work at the Children's Fountain, and it's regarding removing and replacing bricks in kind to accommodate replacement of trough grates and waterproof trough. So
how's it going, everyone? Dan Murray with PJ Spillane Company. I'm the project manager for this one. Also on the call should be Ed Fontaine from Colliers. And we also have on the line, excuse me one moment, Brooke. I don't know if you're available. We have Brooke also from the church. So overall, the scope, you know, as you summarized, the brick pavers are going to be removed in between the two troughs and replaced to match the surrounding paver system. The underburden is going to be, you know, all the concrete repairs will be done, which is the main concern, concrete and structural repairs that need to happen to these grate systems. And also then the waterproofing is going to be happening along with the frame and grate replacement. So if you go to the next few slides, you kind of get an idea of what these troughs are. They're essentially gutters with the outer trough. If you pause right there, the outer trough with the grates having the holes for the water to come through, draining into the smaller inner drain at the two areas. So within those areas, we're gonna have the Endicott brick that's been custom blended to match the surrounding area. And then the frames and grates, if we go to the end, which I believe was a question, clearly there's a lot of deterioration with the frame. So this work is definitely needed to secure everything. And if you continue on, the grates and frames just need to be able to match profile wise. And this is DeAngelis's shops, who's gonna be doing the metal work. If we continue through these, I believe there's some side-by-side pictures of what eventually we're looking for. So they match the pattern that is currently there. And they also are matching the surrounding areas with the new stainless steel.
All right. Is that it?
I'll add one thing. This is Brooke Tenike. I'm a project manager at First Church of Christ Scientists. Just to add on to what Dan has stated. So as the commissioners are aware, we've done a very extensive renovation, restoration to the plaza. The fountain itself was not part of that scope, and it was determined as we were looking at there are water issues, there's some safety issues with the fact that these grates have deteriorated. So the intent is that we are matching the stainless elsewhere on the plaza. So similar to the fact that we're using the approved plaza brick that you see elsewhere on the Christian Science Plaza, those are being, we're putting them back in kind here and doing new grates that look like the old ones, but should not oxidize and start to deteriorate. These were done in 2005, and as you can see, have definitely been weathered.
So is it just the grate that you're replacing, or I'm looking at slide number 6 here, and it looks like these grates open, and there's looks like a pretty rusted out container underneath there. Is that container?
Those frames are all getting replaced as well.
All of that.
Correct.
So in order to do that, you are removing the bricks on how many courses out from each side?
We're taking about a foot out on the outermost trough, and on the in between the outer trough and inner trough, the brick are coming out completely, and we're doing full substrate repairs.
All right. And these grates are only where the fountain jets pop out, right? Are they serving as drainage also or not?
On the inner trough, they are the drain. It's covering the drain.
Oh, just the inner trough, but the outer trough is for housing the fountain jets.
And they do have a drain within them as well, yes.
All right. And then this slide here that we're looking at, this very center piece,
yes.
Is that also going to be replaced or is that not?
At this point, it wasn't part of the design, but I think it's going to be.
It's going to be replaced?
Yes.
And it'll be replaced with stainless steel as well?
I'm not sure it's going to be replaced. Hopefully, I believe Ed should still be on. I believe they might just be refinishing.
Yes, this is Ed Fontaine, the engineering manager on site. That center sunburst pattern you're looking at right now has been removed by DeAngelis and basically cleaned and clear-coated. So the actual pieces will be coming back. They just won't be brown and tarnished. They will be lighter, which was their original color, and clear-coated. So that exact piece you see there, just cleaner, will come back on site.
All right. And are these pieces cast iron, or are they...
They are. Bronze. These pieces are cast iron, which is why we had DeAngelis take them to the shop to specially clean them and then use the clear coat. It won't 100% stop the oxidation, but it will slow it down greatly so we don't have the same issue we have with the grates deteriorating so quickly.
And that was for the grates around the perimeter, those circles, that it was preferred to replace those completely with new, or... why not do the same treatment?
It was, because one of the things that helped for the grates, we were changing up the framing. You can see in this picture here, the frame beneath that one grate that is rotated up.
Yeah.
That structure actually was a box, and it extended down into the troughs. It was also galvanized steel with stainless steel pins on a cast iron grate. So we had all sorts of mixed metals oxidation going on.
All right.
By going with it's essentially not a box frame. It's a surface frame that the new stainless will go on. So we got rid of the exposure of the metal down the bottom of the troughs, which stay wet when it rains or when the fountain is running. And then we matched the stainless look, as Brooke had mentioned, to all the other stainless features that were approved for the past 4-year renovation throughout the plaza.
Okay. No, I think I'm trying to envision, the stainless steel now, these circles that'll be made look this sort of silvery gray color against that sort of buff rust color pavers. It'll be a different look, but I'm hoping it will look good, to be honest with you. I'm trying to envision it because those are very prominent parts that really make up the design of the ground plane of this fountain. So I really would like them to be decent looking. So
I just want to ask for a little bit more clarification on the scope of work, because the PDFs that we received must be scanned from something that aren't very clear. So I think I understand we're replacing a whole outer ring and a whole inner ring of metal work. We're rehabbing the center medaille, and in between the inner and outer ring, you're pulling up all the brick, repairing waterproofing, and putting new brick down. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then it looked like right around the medallion, there is some actual stone slabs of some kind.
Yeah, it looks like granite. Yes. Yeah.
Are those going back down, or are those being replaced?
That's going to be reset. They're going to be reused.
They'll be reused. And is that lighting that's in some of them?
No, those are additional drains.
Those are additional drains. And then is all of the infrastructure of the fountain, all the plumbing being replaced?
No. All of that had been done previously. It's all underneath in a fountain pump room. So
no changes. There's no new plumbing vault or hatch or anything like that?
Correct.
Okay.
Where, of the two rings, where are the lights placed? Are they in...
The lights are fiber optic cables that are tie wrapped to each of the water jets. There's 180 water jets, 180 fiber optic lights.
So they're no bigger than almost the aperture of the jet.
Correct.
Oh, I think I actually see it here on one of them.
See one of the bundles. We had to bundle them up. They come in groups of 8. Wow. We had to bundle them up to put them off to the side for safety during the work. Okay. Yes, you can see them there.
Yeah, that's pretty intense light.
Yeah, so those lights were put in 2005 with the last major renovation of the fountain.
Yeah. No, I think it looks great when it is on. I've noticed how bright it looks. So all that will be restored. That'll be great. And then just for the clarity again, are you going to be cleaning this granite? It looks pretty rusty where that surround the center medallion. Is that going to be, you know, cleaned up a bit, or I don't know what your thoughts are or plans are for that, but or maybe that is the color of the granite. I don't know.
That is the color of the granite. It's an orangish color. Okay. So yes, we are treating it very safely to get it reset. Yeah.
And then when you put the bricks back, it's all going to be the same color, the colors that are there currently.
Correct.
Yeah. So I think there's two different colors out there, right? I think.
Yeah, it's a blend.
Yeah. All right. No, I think this is great. So when are you planning to do this?
We are planning to continue. We've done some subsurface stuff, and we would be continuing to get going with the surface stuff hopefully as soon as possible.
Would that mean then that it might be interrupted during the summer, the use of the fountain?
It is currently shut down, yes.
It is, huh? Well, that's really too bad, especially during these past couple this week. Does that have to be shut down for the time being? I mean, can you not delay it and allow this fountain to be out so people can at least use it during this really hot weather?
Most of the demo work and prep work had started.
Oh, you've already started it. Oh,
okay. Yeah, it had already started. And ultimately, we were supposed to be having this meeting with you like 4 or 5 months ago. And then a little thing called COVID showed up and threw us all off. Yeah. We were targeting to have this full project completed for the summer season. Obviously, the virus shut us down.
All right.
David, I had one more question before you open to the public, or maybe you want to open to the public, so
we'll start
our 2 minutes, and then I'll ask my question.
Okay, go ahead.
The stainless steel, as I recall from the whole rest of the project, has a bead blasted finish. You're matching that finish on this work?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'm just looking through the staff comments here again, just to make sure we got the points. So I guess one of the proposals we will ask for is the staff would recommend approval with proposals finding that the staff should confirm samples of replacement materials on site and confirm that they will match the color, texture, size, shape, profile, and configuration of the existing materials. So is that something that can be arranged for?
Yes.
Okay, so that will be the one proviso that we will recommend to the full commission that they accept. So let's do a quick, let me get my script again here to the public. All right, members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please quote, raise your hand or type your question in the chat and application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to quote raise your hand, or can send your question to the staff via email at blc@boston.gov or via Twitter with the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks with the hashtag BLC July 28 hearing.
All right, David, I don't see any public comment, anyone raising their hand.
All right, so with that, then that's the last one on our agenda, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and no one did any Twitter or email either.
Okay. All right, so then we'll recommend, like I said, contact the staff when you have all the materials that you're going to be using and make sure that they're out there visible so that they can compare the new with the old to make sure that everything is going to be cohesive. Okay.
Sounds good. Is there a specific person I'm supposed to be reaching out to for that?
Yeah, Joe.
Okay, great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you
guys. I appreciate it.
Wow, we're early here. Jeez. Well, that's it for now.
That's it. Yep.
We'll reconvene at 6.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Joe.
upstairs.
Okay, Lynn, anytime you'd like to start.
Great. Okay, I just want to see who's here. All right. I'm calling this Boston Landmarks Commission public hearing to order at 6 p.m. on July 28th, 2020. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link in our agenda posted online at http://www.boston.gov/publicnotices/13659591 or by calling 301-715-8592 and entering ID 866-6482-3684#. You can also submit written comments or questions to blc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag #BLCJuly28hearing. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we're conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Boston Landmarks Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comments on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at blc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag #BLCJuly28hearing. We will repeat these instructions as necessary. So present are Commissioners Jacques, Freeman, Walker, Hoffman, Verducci, Castro, Hotelling, Hart, and Smilage. And the first order of business.
And Lynn Sue Goganian just joined.
Oh, great. And Goganian. Thank you. First order of business. Well, actually, let me read the agenda into the record. First, we'll review and vote on design review applications. Then we'll review and vote on the administrative design review applications. Then we will consider the minutes from the meeting on June 23rd for approval. After that, staff updates if there are any, and then adjournment. So, David?
Yep.
Design review.
Okay. The first item was the First Church of Roxbury at John Elliott Square, and this was they wanted to amend their application, their last application to us, to include drainage work. Including the installation of a bioretention area. And so Joe Bagley actually was on this as well, because he's the one who had the most to say, because it had to do with the drainage potentially impacting these excavation areas. So I'm trying to get back onto the So if we go to this is basically a section of the bioretention area. Basically, it's just a hollowed out section of the lawn that is intended to retain a certain amount of water. Then once it gets to the point above this berm, then it's allowed to spill over the berm and down onto the landscape. And the point being that it's intended to absorb, the swale is intended to absorb most of that water before it runs off. So there was we can get to the plan, actually, that would be the best thing to sort of, yeah, and pull out a bit here. Okay, so this, what was really impacting is the large parking lot, the rectangular parking lot. There is a catch basin that's located in the upper left corner. And that catch basin, the water is draining from the parking lot into that catch basin, and then it goes into an 8-inch pipe that goes underground and then daylights, as you can see in this, what's called the section, or what is it called here? Meeting Hill number 3. And that's So the intention there is that the water will spill out of the, it'll daylight at that point, it'll spill out, it'll flow into the depression that we showed in that section until such it rises above the berm, and then it'll spill out over the berm. So we were just making sure that there was not going to be any further excavation into these areas, which is really what we were most concerned about, because that would disrupt the archaeology perhaps that was being done earlier. All of this will be filled in. In other words, that pipe as it goes under the driveway will be filled over with new soil rather than trenching down in it. As it hits this area, they will be putting in a flare-ended pipe, which is what I'll call the flare-ended pipe, meaning the water will flow out and the pipe gets a little wider at its mouth. It will flow over a 6x6 area of some kind of a stone or a riprap or stone, so that the as the water flows over that, it does not scour out the soil. So we asked them in this case, because it would be a visible point from the roadway, that this pipe, as it daylights, that the pipe, instead of being white PVC, that it be black so that it would be less visible, and that the riprap or the stone that they use, he's going to use a kind of a large, fairly large stone, but it will be such that they'll be able to have some soil spread over it and allow the lawn to kind of grow through the cracks, so it will be less visible. And I think that was, that was really the only area that was going to be impacting these excavation areas. So we approved it with the proviso that they, like I said, produce a white pipe for that portion of the pipe that comes out of the grade, the riprap or the stone be a darkish color. The other point was there was a controversy as to whether this catch basin at the corner of the parking lot is actually in that one of those the meeting hill number two area, whether it's actually in that area or not. It does, this plan shows it as being in that area, but the applicant said that the actual outline of the area misses that corner. But the point is, if it is going to be in this area, that we've asked them to move that catch basin slightly downward to the south by maybe 15, 20 feet or so that it's outside of the area, because they will have to be excavating about 4 feet down for that catch basin. So those were, that the motion would be to accept it with those provisos that I had mentioned.
Second?
A second.
Okay, Brian. So of the alternates voting, it will be Commissioner Hotelling. So Commissioner Jacques?
Yes.
Freeman?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Hoffman? I'll go back to her. Beriducci?
Yes.
Goganian?
Yes.
Castro?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
And Hoffman?
Yes.
Oh, thanks, Kirsten. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, David, up next, yeah.
All right, next was the Emerald Necklace Parks, the Jamaica Pond Park, and this was regarding a flagpole or installation of a new flagpole to replace the one that was removed in 2019. This on the photo on the left shows what the original flagpole looked like. That was removed when they came before us with new work that they had wanted to do in that area, which they've now done, which is shown over to the right here. In the interim, there have been veterans groups that had asked for the flag to be put back, because it was they pass by there often and pay tribute to it. So this little plan off to the left with the red box is where they are planning to put the new flagpole. And then there's a photos that show, if we can go further into that, Joe, that showed, yeah, this is the before area between these two benches. The next photo shows the flagpole, the new flagpole that will be installed there. So it's not in the same place. But it's a slightly shorter, but in this case, it's going to be less intrusive than the other flag was, because the other flag was not an original Olmstedian wasn't in the Olmsted design. So so this was passed by the veterans groups to see if they approved this, and they did. And then the pole will be, if you go to the next slide, I think shows the material. The pole will be sort of a dark bronze with a ball cap and such. So we were, and it's going to be, I think, a 25-foot height, they said. So we were fine with all of it. So we approved it, or would say to approve it as presented.
I think Chris may have a question. Chris?
Yeah, how far is that pole from each bench?
Oh, they did, that. Those benches, the opening there was for wheelchair placement. And so they did do the research to see if the pole was put in the middle there, if they still, that still functions for the purpose of it being a slot for the wheelchairs, and it does. So it does meet the ADA compliance. I don't know, to answer your question, the exact dimension, I don't know what that is, but they assured us that it still would function.
Okay.
A place for wheelchairs.
I think they also said they had additional capacity in other places along the benches as well.
Yeah. We'll see how long the pole survives winter plowing.
I didn't say that again.
It's just where the pole is. When the guy got dealt with the bobcat, he's already got it.
Winter plowing.
Yeah.
He's worried about snow removal.
Oh, the snow removal. Oh, I see.
I would put the thing in the grass behind the curb. But
This is the upper left and the bottom left show the spot that the flagpole is being put in. I don't see the dimension. I think it's 4 feet. Yeah, it's a 4 foot square area, it looks like. And it was being placed on the center line of the benches. So it would be out of the way. Actually, it looks like it's being placed a little bit towards the back of the benches.
Well, the front. They're near the front of the bench, actually.
You're right. Yes, the front is on the front side. But
it's for a flagpole. It's a really strange place for a flagpole. But
I would find a new home closer to somewhere else.
To the curb, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, either to the curb or not in that location. It just looks odd. Was there a view coming down Pine Street? Is that why they wanted it?
I think, again, if we go to the plan, I think that's the only way we can kind of review this. So here, this is where it is, where the old pole was probably where the P and the O of the word proposed is. So it was basically in that opening between the two buildings, a much more prominent location. And since it is not original to the design, it didn't really feel like it warranted being put back in such a prominent location. So this is being put off to the side. It's less of a feature, but it's still there for the veterans to be able to pay homage to it, which is what they apparently do on a daily basis when they take their walks through there.
I totally understand getting that. I was surprised it didn't get reinstalled right after the work got done. But it seems like this is kind of an odd place to put it between things.
Well, what if we suggest that they put it up on the lawn, right up near the curb, get it off of the pavement altogether, so that area then still remains usable for a place for a wheelchair, and it's completely off of the path. and then they might have to put some kind of a collar of paving around it for mowing purposes. But
it would just seem that you want the pole to have some landscaping around it to actually.
Well, I think landscaping and all that, it's just going to draw too much attention to it. And that would not be something that would be would have been conducive to a homesteading plan. I think the simpler we keep the base plane around the pole, the better. And I do think that this pathway, you can see as you approach the path from above and you come down, it would be certainly visible. It's opposite of the boathouse, so it still has its affiliation to the boathouse, if that was something that was considered to be important. But I do think it's a acceptable place to put it. It's not as tall as the other one, so it doesn't have as big a presence out there. And we thought that that was probably fine to sort of downplay it, but still have it be a visible feature. So if you feel strongly about that, wanting it lifted off of the pavement, we can then make that a proviso to them to see if they would be willing to put it onto the lawn area.
And if that was done, how much of a pad would be required for it?
It depends on how close they put it to the curb. I would say, if it was set back from the curb by, say, 2 feet on center, then probably there should be a square area of 2 feet. In other words, the paving should go from the pole right to the back of the curb, and then a foot on either side of the pole is probably fine, making it easy to maneuver the mower around there. So we could probably recommend that they pull it back about 2 feet away from the curb and then put at least a 2 foot square collar around it. Does that sound acceptable to everyone?
Yes. It is for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then that would be then the motion to add that proviso in as far as in the motion, and that Joe will make mention of that, and then they would have to do a drawing. We can probably ask them to send the drawing to Joe to approve of its actual position.
David, before we take a motion, I have a quick question. Is that an internal halyard pole?
I don't know.
I just read the detail. It does say internal.
It does say internal. Okay.
The previous page that was just up for a second. Yep. Says internal. Just wanted to make sure of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. All right.
Okay.
So that would be the motion, as I just mentioned, with that proviso.
I had to step away for a second, so maybe someone else should second.
I'll second.
Sorry, who is that, Joe?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, and Commissioner Amadeo has joined us. So Commissioner Hart will be voting this time. All right, Commissioner Jacques?
Yes.
Freeman?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Hoffman? Yes.
Lynn, you just kind of went silent.
Bertolucci?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Sorry. Gauganian?
Yes.
Castro?
Yeah.
And Hart. And I vote yes.
Okay. All right. So the third item here was Back Bay Fens at 31 Park Drive. This is a continuation from the June 23rd hearing where they came before us with this proposal on the right. They need to add a new pole that has the Wi-Fi capability or the antenna on it. And so this was the light fixture solution that they were proposing to us. And we had said to them to talk to DCR to find out what their plan is for future light poles out here, because we wanted that whatever this pole is going to be looking like in terms of its new light fixture, that represents either what's out there or what is going to be put out there in the future. They did not ask the right question. The question that they asked was, will future poles that have this equipment on it look like the one that they're showing here? Well, The answer, of course, is yes, but that's not what we are asking. So they're going to go back and see if the DCR is intending to ever, in the near future or in the future, to change these Cobra heads out and put something else on. And if they are, will it be this perpendicular arm that's shown here? If they are, then we'll accept this to leave it as it is. If they are not, then we suggested that they look, that they make this light fixture look like the others and be probably be another Cobra head, but with an LED fixture in it. The coloration of the pole, this is going to be a metal pole, but the coloration, they're going to match the sort of, the brownish gray color of the exposed aggregate poles that are out there. This one is kind of a, looks like a kind of a cold gray color, so they will match the concrete more exactly. So they're going to come back to have that conversation with DCR, and we hopefully will see what this new Cobra head fixture looks like on this new pole. So it's not that hard. I don't know why they didn't understand it, but so I guess that's going to be a continuation then. There would probably, there would be no motion or no vote on that, right, Joe?
No.
Okay, so then the next item.
Can I just ask, would it be too much to ask DCR to come present and overall what they want to do overall in the business so that we don't keep having these questions come up? It would seem like we met with DCR maybe 5 years ago about what they wanted to do, and it might be worthwhile to get an update overall from them. Thanks.
I'm not sure what you're asking. Are you asking to ask DCR to come up with a long-term plan for lighting?
Well, I am thinking that at least from what I've heard, there's a bunch of things in the works for your friends. And it might be helpful if DCR, as a cooperative state agency, updated us where they see the next 5 to 10 years of the things overall. And oh, by the way, we can talk about your Cobra and light fixtures too.
If I'm understanding your question, the Cobra head is certainly a dated looking fixture. There's no question about that. But I think for our, the way we were viewing this was we were looking for continuity. We didn't want these poles with the extra equipment on it to be so foreign looking from the others. So in the future, I would hope that DCR would have a better looking fixture that could be put in here that would be more conducive to the setting that they're in. But right now it doesn't look like that's in their plans. So I hope I'm answering that for you, Chris. I'm not sure I got everything you said, but okay. All right. So not hearing anything further. The motion would be then to, there's no motion because they're coming back to us. So,
David, you probably should make a motion and vote on it just to continue it, just so we have
just
it.
Just for continuance? Okay.
Yeah.
I think we have in the past. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the motion would be then for a continuance, meaning they will come back to us with answers to the questions that we had asked them about the future of lighting on the from DCR.
I'll second that.
Brett? Okay, yep. And Commissioner Amadeo will be voting. Commissioner Jacques?
Yes.
Freeman?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
Verducci?
Yes.
Gauganian?
Yes.
Castro?
Yes.
And Amadeo?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, and the last was the Christian Science Church complex at 210 Mass Ave, and this was regarding a work around the what's known as the Children's Fountain. It was the removal and replacement of bricks that are surrounding these cast iron grates that are currently the outer row houses the fountain jets, and the inner row is our drains for the water as it flows down to the center. As you can see here, the cast iron is all rusted through in many places. So their proposal is to, and this is the very center medallion. So why don't we talk about this? This center medallion is also cast iron, and this was the condition before. They have had those now removed and sent to DeAngelis Ironworks, where DeAngelis is completely cleaning them. And then they're going to be putting a clear coat finish on them. So it'll have it will get rid of the rust and have it be a more even, cleaner finish on it. And then the clear coat will help protect it in the future. But the outer bands, they're going to replace all of those grates with the same design grate, but in a stainless steel. And I think, and here's this, it'll be a flat, this will be almost a pebble finish to the stainless steel. So the only difference, it would have a gray color to it. It won't have any kind of luster to it, and it will stand up much better, obviously, in the future. And then they will have to be removing the bricks around each of the troughs when they excavate to replace these, and they will be putting new brick back in, but in the same color as what's existing. So the proviso was, or the motion would be to accept this proposal as presented, with the proviso that once they have the new grates here as shown, and the brick colors that they're going to be putting back, they just will notify staff so the staff can come out there to ensure that everything is matching what was existing. And so that would be the motion.
Brad seconds.
And Commissioner Hotelling voting. Commissioner Schock?
Yes.
Freeman?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
Can't hear you, Lynn.
Verducci?
Yes.
Goganian?
Yes.
Castro?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
All right, and there was one administration approval, if I could read that in. This was an application that came before the Landmarks staff, and it was approved by the staff according to their determination that it adhered to the standards and criteria. So our vote after I read it in would be to accept their finding. And that was application 21.0016.006, the International Trust Company building at 45 Milk Street. And the work was the repair of three windows on Arch Street elevation and one window on Devonshire Street elevation. So
the motion. That's the motion. Second?
Brad seconds.
Okay. And Commissioner Hart voting. I'm sorry, Commissioner Amadeo voting. Okay, Commissioner Jacques?
Yes.
Freeman?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
Verducci?
Yes.
Goganian?
Yes.
Castro? Yes. Amadeo?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Oh, that's it for, okay, yeah. Design review. Review and approval of the minutes from the meeting on June 23rd. They were short and sweet. They look good to me. Any comments, corrections? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Is that David? Okay. Was that Chris for a second?
Chris Hart, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And Commissioner Hart voting. Commissioner Jacques?
Yes.
Freeman?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I think you said me.
Goganian?
Yes.
Castro?
Yes.
Hart?
Hart, Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So those are approved. Any staff updates, Joe?
No, I don't have any. I don't think Roseanne's here, but no, I don't have any updates at the moment.
I just wanted to share the news that we've received two draft study reports from Wendy Franchero for the Richard Bond House and the First Church in Roxbury, which is great. They were produced quickly, and everyone will have an opportunity, as you know, to read them. But those have been received. The other thing I just wanted to mention was Highland Park. I think some of the commissioners have sworn in. I think we're waiting for everyone to get sworn in before the draft study report for that is distributed. Do you know anything about that, Joe? Wait. Anything more?
No, I don't.
Okay. Did you have a question, Susan?
I just said I was sworn in this week, so.
Yeah, me too, last week, so. So I'm not sure who's outstanding, but we're moving along, so. Okay, if there's nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second, back here.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Gals,
thank you very much.
Okay, keep cool.
Good evening.
Bye-bye.